than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in the doctrine of prayer still. And we're on page 6, Roman numeral 10. And once we complete that, we will move on to back into Jude. I think it's verse 21. All right, let's take the customary time to, again, always reassess ourselves, see that we're in fellowship, so that we can receive this information and be edified and encouraged by it, in spite of all that we are going through and have gone through as believers in Jesus Christ. God's plan is intact for each and every one of us, and we are the Lord's, no matter what the circumstances are. And the circumstances today are for us to focus our attention on principles at this point related to the subject and doctrine of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you provide us with in the midst of these perilous times. We ask that you be with us today in our study. Encourage us as believers to continue to maintain a strong attitude of being in prayer with regard to all the things that are before us. Bless these Bible classes to the edification of this assembly, in Christ's name, amen. All right. Turn to Matthew 6. Well, Jesus had a lot to say about prayer. And we have here some don'ts. Don't do this. And you will observe people, maybe perhaps in various environments, seeking to pray, and you will note some of these violations. We've already covered the fact that prayer has to have the right content, prayer content. And that comes from the study of the Word of God and how you are to pray for situations. Okay. Here, Jesus, we'll pick up Matthew 6, verse 5. And that'll cover everything in this particular brief point. People resort to various lingo. The thous and the thees of the King James Version, that's strictly not necessary. God is addressed as you. There's no separate pronoun for God, second person, or any other. So, we'll just read these. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, the fakes, the phonies. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their full reward. It ends right there in the street when all these people are going, ooh, ah, with regard to these individuals. That's their reward. They get their approbation stroked. That's where it ends. Moving on. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close your door, and pray to the Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So this is specialized prayer, where you isolate yourself and spend time praying. You need to cultivate that. Get away from everything. Leave the phone in the next room. Whatever it is that could potentially be a distraction. And when you are praying, now he dealt with the Jewish, the hypocrites, he liked to call them. the put on a show, not genuine. And then he moves on to the Gentile misconduct. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. They think if they say something, a phrase, over and over and over and over again, it's going to have more impact. It does not. You don't have to say things over and over and over for God to get the message through. So meaningless repetitions, of course, we would say today, like the Catholics do, Hail Mary 100 times. And of course, that's completely shut down, that prayer, all the way. It doesn't go anywhere. Strange incense. You're not praying to the Father through Jesus Christ. For they suppose they will be heard for their many words. And they're wrong. Short and succinct prayers work too. We're communicating with God. He does not need long, drawn-out prayers necessarily. Not that you can't spend 30 minutes or whatever it is in a prayer session. Okay. And as I said, a verse I really like, I just got to exercise faith towards it. And that's found in Romans here in the next point 11. Did you know this about prayer? Did you know what we have here? The Holy Spirit makes total sense out of our prayers. He takes up the slack where we lack all the facts pertinent to a given situation. He perfects the prayer and brings a complete and accurate petition to the throne of grace. Even our most intense groaning is translated into perfect prayer. This is presuming that you are in fellowship, presuming that you are genuinely striving to present before God a prayer that glorifies Him, that is in line with the truth that you've learned. The prayers of the Holy Spirit delivers. The Holy Spirit delivers are preconditioned by searching each one's heart. So He polishes every true prayer and presents it to the God the Son, who in turn intercedes before the Father. Chain of command. All right. 26. Now this weakness here isn't something that is necessarily because we're failing. It's just our human nature. Under extreme, and usually this is the result of praying under extreme, a fairly extreme pressure. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. This is where we get caught up in things and we don't know exactly how to perfectly frame the prayer. Not that we shouldn't try. We shouldn't use this as an excuse. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He knows what we are trying to come up with. And He helps us. But see, this is something you definitely have to have faith in. You have to believe, okay, I tried, I'm struggling with something, and I don't even have the words to put it in. You know petitions and things you ought to pray for, obviously. But sometimes the situation is such that it is too deep for words. And He searches the hearts. He knows what you're trying to do. And you're trying to pray for the right thing and the right result. You're not faking it. You're genuinely trying to get the right prayer out and before God. And he searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to God. They added the will of God, but that's the idea here. Because what you're trying to pray for is the will of God be done, not your will or any human viewpoint. Okay. Concluding remarks and exhortation. A prayer, like all divine good, falls under the dictum, action with honor. There's a lot of action, but it isn't with honor. to be with honor. It has to be in fellowship, and it has to be in accordance with the truth we have learned. There's extensive prayers written out, presented in the Bible that people offered up. B, prayer is a royal imperative, which we are to be devoted to, as per Romans 12:12, devoted to prayer. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer. It's an imperative. And those examples from Acts, Day of Pentecost, and so forth. C, the local body of Christ is to pray for their pastor teacher. Romans 15. Paul was their right apostle. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And he gives them specific, you have to go back to the context and where, when he wrote this and the situation Paul was in specifically, that I may be rescued. He had enemies from those who are disobedient in Judea. That's the name for the country of Israel at the time. And that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Paul was carrying a Gentile collected offering from churches out in the Gentile world to help the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. And he was transporting this money that they had collected to bring to the aid of the saints in Judea under their distress. And he had enemies in Judea. Jewish enemies. So I may come to you in joy. So see, he's asking for a specific prayer. That they strive together with me. I'm praying about it. You'll be praying about it. A specific need, a specific situation, where both parties are praying. Paul, who's on the firing line, and those out there in the Roman church, in Rome, the capital, Gentile believers, praying for Paul as he delivers this great offering collected from the believers in the Gentile world, in the Roman Empire. And so he prays that he'll be protected from his antagonists, this offering will get delivered and get distributed properly, and number three, that I can make a trip to see you all face to face. They did not have the luxury at this early stage of the church age of everybody having their own in-house pastor teacher. Apostles had jurisdiction over more than one church. So they traveled from place to place, establishing churches, revisiting churches, and things of this nature. And there's a lot involved in that. And so these believers would get letters where they couldn't have a personal visit. The Romans got this monumental book. Romans is heavy weight doctrine that Paul sent to them. Okay. So, our application is, you keep praying for your pastor teacher. And this may sound funny, but the most important person in your life is your spiritual leader, your pastor teacher. Because without him, without one of them, you're just out here flopping around. Other people are very important in your life, but it's like the analogy of a shepherd to a flock. What do the sheep need? What's the most important thing they need for their protection and guidance? A shepherd to lead them to pasture and to protect them from predators and to do other things perhaps. But those are primary so that the flock flourishes. The whole idea of the relationship between a pastor, teacher, and his congregation is that you are to follow your pastor, teacher. He is your designated spiritual leader in time. If something happens to him, then obviously he can have a replacement. But in the meantime, it's right pastor, right congregation. Not a revolving door. Not one for 6 months or even 6 years. You are to, as a pastor, commit yourself, as in a marriage, to your congregation through thick and thin, come what may. That is a commitment. And not look for greener pastures like pastors do, church climbing, get the big church in the city from the country church, things of this nature. Anyway, so God designates, you identified me, if you have, as your pastor teacher. It's an identification. I don't force you into anything. It isn't about joining the church. It's about an identification factor. I identified a group of believers, few of which are still with us, a group of believers back in 73 as the congregation. So it was like male, female. I identified and agreed to come up here and stay with you through thick and thin. No matter what. And not run. I have no verse where I can retire. Only if I physically couldn't do this. That's obvious. But as long as I can physically do it and get here and have the mental and physical capabilities to communicate this information, that is my responsibility until God takes me to phase three. And that is taught by Jesus and is ignored right and left in the fundamentalist world. In all the ways it is ignored and distorted. Multiple pastors. Who's your student pastor? Who's your... I am. I'm the pastor for the elderly. I'm the pastor for the singles. I'm the pastor for the recovering drug addicts. Children, well, we put them back there so they can have it brought down to their level. When I get to be about 13, then they come in here. So now we don't have a youth ministry. We teach our youth doctrine. We keep it simple. This other doesn't do that. All right, the next verse, Ephesians 6:19. Different situation for Paul. If I give you a specific from this pulpit prayer request to ask you to pray for me for something, then you're expected to do it. Obviously, you pray for me in general. And you, because we are together all the time, we mostly know everything that's going on. But you have a responsibility to pray for me as I do you. But here, in Ephesians, when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he was in prison in Rome. His first Roman imprisonment, from which he was released, and they let him go. What were the charges? Well, you know what they were. He's a Christian, teaching the gospel. So he was in prison in Rome. And this is a prison epistle. But he was going to have an appearance. Okay? And his appearance was going to be before the Roman authority. What's he going to say? He's going to defend the faith. Because that is what he has been charged with. And of course you can imagine the laundry list of things, made up things they would say, that we are advocating, rejection of authority, all the kind of stuff they tried to malign Christians with. So Paul would have an opportunity there, and it's just another audience. Augusta Romans, maybe even Caesar. So what does he ask? He's gonna be one man standing before this audience. We'll read 18:2. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. See, there's your in fellowship, in sync with the Holy Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert. We're in a conflict, and you need to be on the alert for influences and things in your periphery. With all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Like he's this real dangerous guy, right? Paul's this real dangerous felon. So he's an ambassador. What's an ambassador? Ambassador is a representative of a country to another country. His home country representing the interest and so forth of his country to another country. So Paul is an ambassador representing up country, heaven, to down here. He's an ambassador for Christ. We're all ambassadors for Christ. Keep that in mind all the time. For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. No mealy mouth. No wimpy, mealy mouth communication. Speak with authority and boldly before the Roman authority. They understand that. That's something they would understand. And they would see the confidence in this man. This isn't human confidence cranked up. This is divine confidence, divine boldness. You don't have to make any apologies for the plan of God. Yes, treat people respectfully. He would have treated them respectfully. They are in a chain of command and so forth. But it was his opportunity on behalf of Christians everywhere to take the gospel to the highest echelons of world power at the time, the Roman Empire. So God let him go into that prison so he'd have a special audience to witness to. Normally, he would never got to walk in and talk to these people. They're isolated in their old world of power and so forth, prestige. But he got the chance to witness to Caesar's household. And household means more than just his wife and kids. It means everything right down to servants, the whole world. Everybody needs the truth. Everyone needs the gospel. And we will run into these people that Paul won to Christ when we get to heaven. We'll meet them. Real people. Living in a different time. Yeah? And I stood out there in the hallway and heard him. That's right when I believed. I'm just a servant. But I believed. It made perfect sense. He defended what they were. I'd heard all this stuff. I got it right. Boom. And probably, and individuals from close into Caesar's inner circle became believers. And that's what we're to be about in these last days. We are to be about where God gives opportunity. We are led to present the truth to men and women, people everywhere, give an opportunity. Are you a Christian? Yeah. Well, what'd you do to become a Christian? Because you're not trying to put them on the spot. You're trying to find out if they know what they're talking about. They may very well be a Christian, but confused. So you tell them, all you got to do is believe in Jesus Christ, and you're in the plan of God forever. So, and of course, I am to pray for you, vice versa. My congregation, my right congregation. I know things you're going through at any given time in our history. And I pray for your spiritual protection, that you will not be taken down by alien and erroneous concepts that you have not learned from this pulpit. That you will not fall prey to those things. But I can't do anything beyond pray about that. Romans 1. The Roman church. Imagine getting a church. Go back. We get a church in Rome. Big bad Rome. You know, all of it. All the paraphernalia, all the buildings, all the people. If you saw any of those made for television deals with regard to the history of Rome, this was a big cosmopolitan, huge city with a lot of different things going on, good and bad. Romans 1, 8. First of all, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. It's nice to know that. You know what? Paul hadn't been with them till later. He said, well, I'm thankful for you people. In the heart of the beast, we have the truth. In Christians, ordinary Roman Christians, walking the streets, doing their thing, out there, who were pagans, who are now believers, and who would get a lot of strong Bible doctrine from this great book, the book of Romans. I thank God for you all because your faith, your positive volition, is being proclaimed through the whole world. Those Christians have made inroads into Rome. You think that'd be the one place where everybody'd be intimidated not to start up a church, not to be open in your communication to them. Because, see, this runs right up against all of the traditions, the pagan traditions, the belief system, the value system, in many ways. It runs counter to it. You've walked away from your upbringing and your culture in that sense. For God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the proclamation of the gospel of His Son, is my witness. I got a witness in heaven. God is my witness. The best witness you could have to your positive volition and your application in time. God is my witness. In other words, why he says this is this. I'm not putting you on. I'm not saying things just so they sound nice. I actually am doing this. And God will stand by me and verify that I'm not making this up to make you feel good. Yeah, I want you to feel good, but I want you to know that I am absolutely sincere. And it is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, e.g., before the throne of grace. How I make mention of you, the great apostle, praying for the relatively new establishment of Christianity in Rome. Always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. A maiden visit. Then he got there. The story's in Acts, how he got there. And he winds up in a Roman prison as a political prisoner. And while in his imprisonment, he was still productive spiritually. He wrote the prison epistles. Romans. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon. He wrote those letters. Those would have never been written, probably, if he hadn't been stuck there. Of course, he could have wrote a letter to one of these churches being free. I understand that. But this is what precipitated the writing of those letters. He was under arrest, but he still could write and had people come and go and visit him. In all of our testing, in all of our adversity, God provides these cushions, these perks, if you will, if you're looking for them. But you've got to be looking for them. Obviously, you've got to be in fellowship. God will temper every difficult situation the believer finds himself in. And sometimes they are extreme. Extreme. I mean, he isn't in prison just to get his wrist slapped and a fine. His life is at stake. There are those pushing for his execution. Well, he got released from that. First Roman imprisonment. So the prayer to be with them, the prayer of Ephesians again. Let me go back. All right, here. I'll start with 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you. That's their level of positive volition and zeal for the plan of God. Whenever Paul was in a location, reports and information would come into him. He had people bringing him information. He had a team. And he had report from the Ephesian group, where a church was established, of the faith in the Lord Jesus that exists among you and your love for all the saints. Do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. What? Top of the prayer list. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Priority number one. Learning, understanding, having insight into the plan. I pray that the eyes of your heart, you got your physical eyes, it's stuck in your head, and then you have the perception of in the soul, spiritual perception, called here eyes, may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling. Phase 3, the afterlife. That you may understand the details and the particulars. Not just, I'm going to go to heaven when I die, yes. But all the other particulars that fleshes this out completely. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? SG3. The importance of divine good production based on application of Bible doctrine and building up your eternal rewards account. And what is the surpassing grace of His power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working and the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And to put all things in subjection under His feet, and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. That's all one sentence. Break that down. And that's what He's praying for, that these people understand and have capacity for this. And many of you do because you've been here a long time and heard a lot of Bible doctrine. And we're here on the historical cusp of getting out of this mess. It's always been a mess, but now it's really a mess. And that's the desire of those who know and understand the truth. That we'll be brought, body and soul, into that glory, full glory. And the rewards that will be handed out at the Bema seat of Jesus Christ. And if you're smart enough to stick in here with Maranatha Church until we're out of here, you can walk off with a crown too. Well, you obviously just being here isn't enough. I understand that part. But you have to live it and believe it. You'll get your crown. And none of this that we went through, weeks of whatever, all the testing that Maranatha is under collectively, individually, 2020, yeah, what a year. Ugh. And then we got 2021 coming up on us. I don't know. I don't worry about it. Oh, I do sometimes. But the thing is, I'm not supposed to. I'm not supposed to be concerned with this. And that's part of my spiritual growth. Well, I recognize that Jesus Christ is the Lord of history. Not these people that are running around out here. He's the Lord of history. He raises people up and brings them down. He establishes and brings all things and works it all for His good and the advancement of His plan towards the kingdom phase. So what I like to tell a person is, you know what your future holds? You want your travel guide? I'll give you your travel guide. You're a believer. You die, your soul's in heaven. Your body's in the grave. The rapture occurs, your body is pulled out of there and reunited with the soul as it was in time, without a sin nature and without an aging gene. You'll be perfect, like Jesus Christ is perfect. I give you all these verses. And then the very first thing on the agenda after the resurrection of the saints out of here, the church age crowd, the bride of Christ, body of Christ, is the award ceremony. And it isn't in heaven. It's between here and heaven. In the air, overhead, we're suspended. We'll get our rewards. Can I describe them to you? Not in specific terms. I can tell you what a 2-carat diamond of the highest quality is. I can tell you what that is. I can tell you what a Rolex watch is. Blah, blah, blah. Like, but I can't tell you in detail what those things are or how. We're going to pack up a bunch of stuff and take it with us? No, I don't think so. It's in some form. That's the secret. But it's better than the best of the best down here. And it's forever. And you can't lose it. You can't get it stolen from you. You'll have it forever. And you'll always enjoy it. You might have gotten something in your life that you enjoyed a lot when you bought it. And for a period of time, then it kind of lost its luster. I mean, not because there's anything wrong with it. It's just, but these things, the glory and the blessedness of them will never fade. Never fade. For all, who can comprehend that? For all eternity. Then we'll come back with Christ after 7 years in the third heaven. And watch Him defeat the armies at Armageddon and set up the kingdom. And we'll rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. And then we'll transition over onto the new earth. And live in a city that's 1,500 miles as a cube. Weird, huh? Sounds strange. The New Jerusalem. Located on the earth too. We get to see all that. That's coming attractions. But you got your head up on it by studying Bible doctrine here at Maranatha Church, going through these books and going through all this detail. I think you got the point here from that. You're supposed to pray for me. And I'm supposed to pray for you. And I do. That God will protect you. That you will not fall by the wayside as so many in Maranatha Church have historically. That you won't be one of those on the casualty list. But you got to do your part. You got to wake up every morning, face your testing, face your adversity, kick your STA in the corner, kick it again. What you got to do, you got to do. And pray to God that He'll keep you on track, keep you going, and turn away from all that that's trying to drag you down. However sweet and kind it is. You got here. You committed yourself here. It hasn't changed. It's the same doctrine. on the happiest day of Maranatha Church and the happiest day in your life as a positive believer, which should be days that, even currently. But whatever it is, just stick with it. Hang in there. One day at a time. Ask God to protect your positive volition from yourself and from influences out there. Because it's the devil's world, and there's those that would like to drag you down, trip you up. And it may be those close and dear to you through blood or whatever relationship. This isn't about putting people first. We're not here to be people pleasers. We're here to be God pleasers. The other will take care of itself. Certain individuals in the local body have a niche which permits large amounts of time to devoted to intercessory prayer. For instance, you're pretty much retired, past age, your physical health, you may be single by yourself, living in a place, you got a lot of time to pray. You got a lot of time to devote yourself to prayer. Start off with, God bless my prayers in accordance with the doctrine in your word. On behalf of the royal family here, have your list, if you will. If you want to make up a list, make a list. Pray for self. Pray for others. List it. Pray for our protection in these last days, because the days are exceedingly evil and things are spiraling out of control. I don't need to tell you that. The normal is no longer the normal. Whether it's with the weather or the politics, or whatever's out there. But don't let fear take you over. If this stuff stirs you up watching it on TV, don't watch it. You truly are not going to miss much. It's just repeat and repeat. Same old stuff. Another version of what the crazies are doing, what they're planning. They won't succeed. Yeah, they may hurt a few of us, and have. Yeah, Christians in Rome got hurt. Christians in Rome got martyred, thrown in a Colosseum for the amusement, the base amusement of Romans who had nothing better to do than to get in a big sports arena and watch other people get slaughtered. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? You got all that great culture, right? And you think that's a good idea to bring people in here that you don't agree with their belief system and throw wild animals and everything at them and have them be wiped out while you all cheer. Well, the Caesar that had Paul martyred, he died the same year. And his wasn't a fun death. Paul finished his course. Nero. And he's been in hell ever since. He should have listened to Paul. He should have paid attention. Imagine centuries that you're in hell and that's all you get to think about. That you heard the information and you blew it off. Well, thank God, we're not in that category. We're here. We're positive. We're believers. Nobody can touch that. Nobody. So, exhortations on thanksgiving. That was the third aspect of prayer broken down. See, in doctrine, you need to think logically and categorically. Prayer. Categories of prayer. Confession. Intercession. And thanksgiving. Those are the three broad categories. And in all these places where we see him talking about praying for yourself and casting your cares on the Lord and so forth, he always likes to throw in with thanksgiving. Whatever you're going through, you have something to be thankful for. You definitely do. You have to think about it. And it ups your spirit. It makes you feel better when you thank God for what he's doing for you. Even in the midst of your trials. If you will, it's a tonic. It's like, whoa. In all things, be thankful. I know, might sound difficult to do with certain things, but you are to be. Okay, exhortations on thanksgiving. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Okay, you came to Maranatha Church today, you revisited, what's the will of God for you? To be thankful and to give thanks in everything. Even in your trials, your heartaches, your tribulations, you can be thankful. You're still on track. You're still positive. And thank you for bringing me to this point in time. And help me to continue forward with the situation in my life as it now exists. Well, we are to pray over our food and thank God for our Coney dog. Whatever it is, however elaborate, however simple, for food. Jesus prayed over food. Response of other believers to Bible doctrine. I've got some occasions for that around here, in spite of the other. I'm thankful for their response to Bible doctrine. They're here. They may be new. They may not be. But they're locked in. Ultimate sanctification. Sanctification is a big word, which means to be set apart something for a special thing. Like you might have special china for a special occasion. I don't know. So it is set apart. It's set apart for phase one is union with Christ right here. Phase two is spiritual growth and maturity. And ultimate sanctification, phase three, body, soul, resurrection body, status quo. Believers who serve the plan of God above and beyond. And I have occasion to do that in these times too. I've had believers under the difficulties we've been under at Maranatha Church step up. Now, I don't know about everybody, what they've done, obviously, but those I observe. I observe them, and I have seen them, and they have stood up and filled in the gap. This is a sign to me, God is with Maranatha Church. When somebody left or whatever happened, somebody stepped in. And it wasn't just some fill-in thing. Quality. Yes, we have a couple needs around here. You probably can detect what they are. Pray about it. We need a piano player. Any takers? I can't get Brenda to do it. She hasn't practiced enough lately. So we drug that piano from the day we got married all the way across the country. Believers who serve the plan of God above and beyond. Again, something we're going to do here in a little bit. The reality behind the Eucharist. Thank God for spiritual gifts. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift. It was given you when you believed in Christ. It does not come to the surface until you start growing up spiritually and figuring out some things. See doctrine of spiritual gifts, and maybe you can identify yours. You will function under it before you maybe even realize what it is and put a name to it. You just are led by God to do certain things, and there are these lists of things that are gifts of the Spirit. And you don't have to have money to have the gift of giving. You just have to have the will to fulfill the gift. I just picked out one gift. Gift of mercy. Gift of helps. That's a very commonplace one. Helps. And the temporary gifts have been set aside. Speaking in another language that you didn't learn. Tongues. Healing. Those prophecy. New prophecy. No. When the perfect has come, the prophecy is set aside. So with the book of Revelation, that closed that door. We don't have to worry about any extra biblical stuff. Gift of apostles are no longer with us. When John died, that ended that. But now we have the hyphenated gift, pastor teacher. One's gifts, prayers of others, thank you for your prayers type thing, the grace of God in general, grace giving. I might add, and I have, we have not lacked for anything at Maranatha Church. No, we haven't had always a big fat bank account. Back in the day, the treasurer would say, do not put your check in the bank until I can make the current offering deposit. Fine. But he never said, sorry, Jack. And if he did, I'd have quit. No. I'm just kidding. Past blessings, and there, and I can reflect on a lot of different things out of the past. Remembrance of people, applications, experiences, deliverances, all of it. And I thank God for all those things. Because it brought me and you to where I am right now. He didn't leave me hanging out there to dry. He took me through things. He took me through tests. He took me through even my own bad failures and delivered me by His grace. And I mentioned that to Him too. Okay. The prospect of eternal reward account, as in all of you, lay up for yourself reward in heaven. And you can do that right now and the rest of the day and tomorrow and all the rest, whatever you're going about and doing, if you have the perception to stay in fellowship. If you don't, you pop out, you pop back. Start your SG3 account up. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. And how do you do that? Apply the Word of God. Divine good production. Do good. Go to your job, whatever it is. Do your chores around the house. Deal with your health test. Or bigger. You get SG3 for suffering. That's not bad. You get rewards for this suffering. It's not just a... Plus, it develops you spiritually. But you get reward for it. Bible doctrine, what it provides. The establishment chain of command, in spite of all the craziness out there. Continue to pray for those who rule over us. From the local Bethany thing or wherever community you're in, up the ladder. Because these are definitely perilous times. So in conclusion, before our coffee break, let us therefore, dealing with prayer, let us therefore draw with confidence to the throne of grace. God does not like lack of confidence. He wants respect, but not lack of confidence. So it's, Heavenly Father, I'm bringing this to you right now. It's on my heart, on my head, and I need help here. And to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Psalm 55:16. As for me, it's kind of like saying, I don't know about the rest of you, but as for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will deliver me. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. That's a large order, I tell you what. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Matthew 20:11. Everything you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Let's take our break.